Our scripture reading this afternoon, once again, is taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 3. Ruth, chapter 3. We'll read the first 13 verses together, and with God's help, we want to look at verses 6 through 13 for our text. Ruth, chapter 3. Beloved, hear now the word of your God. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Thus far the reading of God's sacred word, may he bless it to our souls. Dear congregation, we continue our study of the life of Ruth, the Moabitess. Let us never forget, Ruth was the Moabitess. But by God's sovereign particular grace, she was taken into the covenantal life of Israel, and therefore into the life of Israel's God. What a blessed event this is for a Moabitess, for a pagan, even in our day, for a sinner outside of God's house, to be taken into the church. We think of recent confession of faith. To be taken in, to be a part of the body of Christ, but to be also into the life of Israel's God. Jesus Christ, beloved, is life. Outside of him is death, but within him is eternal life. But Ruth not only found God's sovereign particular grace, but she found grace in Boaz. He was her near kinsman. And she was allowed by Boaz to glean in his fields. But he also made a command to her. He forbid her, so to speak, to go into other fields. He says, stay close by my maidens. Stay close in my field. And already we find Boaz having an attachment over Ruth's need. But also at mealtime, Ruth was taken into the family. She found a place at the table, along with his servants of his household, and Boaz was present there. And he reached her parched corn. And we found several implications, or applications, that is, to the Lord's Supper at this mealtime. But we think about who Boaz was as a Redeemer kinsman. There were obligations laid upon him. We looked at that from the Old Testament, that the husband's brother or an uncle or nephew, someone that was near akin, if a man had an untimely death, if he died early and left no son, then a redeemer kinsman was to take the widow and raise up a son that the family name might be continued and the inheritance would not be lost. The living brothers was then called a goel, a redeemer kinsman. And thus Boaz, as a redeemer kinsman, he's obligated. He has a Levitical obligation placed upon him to see that Ruth has someone to take care of her, and hopefully that there will be a son given to her. And along with this, we want to look at our warrant to seek our Redeemer kinsman. There was a blood link between Boaz and Ruth, blood by marriage, that is. And our Lord Jesus Christ, there's a blood link, is there not, between him and us? He took upon himself our flesh and blood. He took upon himself our sin. And so he's not a stranger. He is our Redeemer kinsman. And thus we want to look at, for our theme, covenant rest in the Redeemer kinsman. In three places. First of all, by great expectation. Secondly, by a humble request. And third, by a gracious answer. Covenant rest in the Redeemer kinsman. And I also have given it a subtitle, Hope for the Hopeless. By great expectation, by a humble request, by a gracious answer. Let us then look for this covenant rest by great expectation. Verse 6 and 7 of our text. And she, that is Ruth, went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of an heap of corn, then particularly, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Our chapter begins with Naomi giving sound wisdom or advice to Ruth. In verse 1, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Now, what is Naomi speaking about here? Well, rest means to be quiet, to have a settled spot. Or to put it covenantally, that every man would be under his own fig tree. To have a house, a home, instead of being a widow in Israel, a perpetual widow. Naomi had a great concern for Ruth that she would find this rest. Because Naomi also knew that after she died, Ruth basically had no future in Israel. She would be almost an outcast. She would have no means of support. And certainly there was no welfare system back then as such we have today. And Naomi had great concern for Ruth. And thus she tells Ruth to wash and anoint herself, to put thy raiment on and go to the threshing floor. And then there's hope. This hope for the hopeless. Is not Boaz our kindred, our near kinsman? Naomi looked at Boaz as one that was a mighty man. He had wealth. And we find in our text, he has compassion. And so our text finds Ruth taking heed to the wisdom of Naomi. Why would that be? Why would Ruth listen to this woman? Well, consider who Naomi is. She is a daughter of Abraham. She is an Israelite by birth. She's one that was brought up within the covenant. You know where this is leading, don't you? Naomi knew Jehovah's rule over his people. By grace, by sovereign grace, Naomi knew the living God. And therefore, she has much to speak about to Ruth, the Moabitess. And by way of aside, child of God, whether you're a young person or whether you're older, you do realize, don't you, you have much to speak. You have much wisdom to give to those that are without. Not just to say you have to be saved, but wisdom from God's Word, glean from God's Word to apply to their lives. Wisdom that is seen not just in the words we speak, but in our actions. You do know the world is watching you, don't you? You make confession of faith, and you are in church every Sunday, and the world watches you during a week to see what you're going to do. And we have much to speak. We have much to say. And Ruth, she did according to all that her mother-in-law had said. And again, for teenagers, younger people. Not that Naomi was infallible, but if God's children have much wisdom to say to those on the outside, then certainly parents and grandparents have much to say to us. And we ought to listen to them. Oh yes, search the scriptures daily as the Bereans did to see that these things are so, but we ought to listen to those that speak God's truth to us. Not just for the office bearers, the elders of our church, but some of the greatest wisdom young ladies, young mothers can receive is listening to the Naomis within the church. Mothers in Israel, go to them. Ask them how to get through the trials of life. No, don't complain about your husband. But ask for godly wisdom and advice. Ruth didn't ask, but she received it. And she acted upon it. She did according to all that Naomi said to her. And thus Ruth goes quietly to the threshing floor. We can almost see her stealing away at night. She washes herself. She puts good clothes on. And you think about this. This threshing floor where the men were laboring and where they would eat later on and then lay down. And a woman goes there. Naomi told her to go amongst the men. This could have the appearance of evil, could it not? Ruth could have been labeled a lewd woman. And Israel also had a law. It was a capital offense to commit adultery. And Ruth hazarded everything of her future to go in obedience to what her mother-in-law told her. Thus she finds Boaz asleep at the end of a, or at the side of a heap of corn. And she came softly and she uncovered his feet and she lay herself down. And we can all almost see Ruth there as a trembling little rabbit, wondering what is going to happen to her amongst all the men. And yet she goes because she has hope for the hopeless. She ventured everything. It could have meant death. But she ventured everything upon this Redeemer kinsman, on the bare word of Naomi. She had great expectation from Boaz, and because Naomi told her, and because of what she heard about Israel's covenant-making God. And we think about poor sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race. Those of us that gather together, those of us that are converted, or those that listen by way of church phone or internet. Maybe there's some that are unconverted. We have the same great need, don't we? We have the same need that Ruth had, whether for the first time or afresh. And let's be honest, we have that same need daily. No, hourly. Moment by moment, we have this same need. We must go to our Redeemer kinsman. Outcasts of Israel have the same reason to come, because it's life or death. If we stay away, it's certain death. But we go to our lawful Redeemer kinsman. I want to say this carefully. But we have a lawful right to go to Jesus Christ, don't we? He is the only one that is lawfully ordained by God the Father to be the only mediator between God and man. And if he has a lawful right to be the mediator, do we not have a lawful God-given right through the invitation of the gospel, the command of the gospel to come to him? He stands before us this afternoon as our only Redeemer kinsman. And he gives hope for the hopeless. But secondly, Ruth has a humble request. Verse 8 and 9. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." That's the most astounding thing Ruth could ever say to Boaz. That's the most astounding thing you or I could ever say to the Lord Jesus. "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." But Boaz was startled. More than likely he's in a sound sleep, and maybe he felt something stirring at his feet, and he turned himself, and there's someone laying there, and he says, "Who art thou?" And maybe Ruth had a timid voice, a humble request. "I am thine handmaid." Can you say that about the Lord Jesus, or to him, that you are his servant? "Lord, I am thy servant. I am thine handmaid. Spread forth thy skirt over me." In the Hebrew, it means thy wing. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, the psalmist says. This may sound strange to us, but it is a bold request. It's Ruth asking that Boaz would perform the duty of redeemer kinsman. In plain language, Ruth proposed to him. She asked Boaz to marry her. And oh, this is not strange language. We find our covenant-making God speaking to us in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8. And child of God, this is how the Lord found us. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. If you know the Lord Jesus and he has already spread his skirt over you, he's covered your nakedness. And if you don't know him, and if you're wondering whether or not this God will turn you away or receive you, he says, I will spread my skirt over thee. We think about Lord's Day 1. What God said to his people, thou becamest mine. I'm thinking about God's wisdom in raising up Zacharias, your sinus, to write the catechism. You know what it says, don't you? What is thy only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is, my only comfort in life and death, I am not my own. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord's Day 1 echoes all the way back to Genesis 1. This is biblical truth. Child of God, you belong to your faithful Savior because the Lord came to you and he spread his skirt over you and he covered your nakedness. You do know the shame of nakedness, don't you? No one wants to be naked before other people. Have you ever considered what it is to be naked before the Most High God at his throne of judgment at the last day? To stand there naked and uncovered in all of our sins? Except that he spread forth his skirt over us. He covered our nakedness in a robe of righteousness, the blood-bought righteousness of Jesus Christ. And along with this request of marriage, Ruth reminds Boaz he is her near kinsman. Ruth presses upon Boaz his covenantal responsibilities. And for application for us, beloved, here is the power of prayer for the New Testament church. And I say it in all reverence. As Ruth pressed upon Boaz his covenantal responsibilities, may we not in all humility press upon the Lord Jesus, yes, thy will be done, his covenantal responsibilities as our Redeemer kinsman, that for all for whom he died shall come to him. And when from God's counsel of peace from all eternity, the Lord Jesus agreed to come to this earth to be our Redeemer, kinsman. He took upon our responsibilities of sin. And being responsible, being a co-signer, so to speak, He became legally responsible for our sin, and you know, our sin cost him his death. You can still hear the echo, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Beloved, that's what cost the Lord Jesus. Our sin cost him that. He was forsaken by his Holy Father as our Redeemer kinsman. The power of prayer is what the Lord Jesus speaks to us in the Gospels. John chapter 6, 37. Sometimes we read these words and they're so familiar, they go right by us. But hear what he says, all that the Father giveth me, and maybe put in parentheses there, election, predestination, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you come to the Lord Jesus, if you come by hearing the gospel presented, and you come confessing your sins, you come as Ruth, even as a timid rabbit, and you come to him, do you think he's going to cast you out? The Lord Jesus says, him I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is a Father's will. And yes, many times we look at Sinai. This is God's will. And certainly it is. The Ten Commandments are God's revealed will for us. And Jesus is not circumventing the law, but he says, this is my Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What the Lord Jesus is saying as our Redeemer kinsman, he says, if you've come to him, it proves your election. And he says, I will raise you up at the last day, that you will not be forgotten in the grave, but Christ will call out your name as he did Lazarus, only to a universal resurrection. I will raise you up at the last day. And thus we're called upon to be a Ruth. But we also have a sober warning. Ruth came to Boaz, trembling maybe, yes. But we think about so many of the true seed of Abraham, or the physical seed of Abraham. They rejected their Redeemer kinsman, didn't they? The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 23, 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And he says these devastating words, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. We're going to have a whole sermon on this. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that come to me, thou that despises the preached word, those that reject the church, those that reject Christ, Jesus says, your house is left unto you desolate. We are either in Christ or we're dead in Adam. And lastly, we have a gracious answer from Boaz. But first, we've been considering together covenant rest in the Redeemer kinsman, or hope for the hopeless. And first of all, by Ruth's great expectation. And secondly, by a humble request. Or could we say a bold request? Spread thy skirt over me. And now by a gracious answer, verses 10 through 13. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, for our text, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And what follows? Blessed be thou of the Lord. Those are precious words, aren't they? They're precious for this mighty man of Israel to say to this poor servant girl, Ruth, the Moabitess, blessed be thou of the Lord. Why was she blessed? Not like we heard this morning. Ruth is showing forth marks of conversion. Ruth is showing the work of the law upon her soul in gratitude. She first had a husband. She was devoted to him. And the Lord took him from her. And then she gave her life in service to her mother-in-law. And then as Boaz says, she didn't look to the young men, but she stayed close in Boaz's field. She had covenantal hope in Boaz, her redeemer kinsman. And if he would marry her, then her incorporation into Israel would be complete, would it not? It's like young ladies today. If the Lord brings a godly man into your life, and you marry him, you are taken care of by this husbandman, this husband. He is the covenant head of a home. He has covenantal responsibilities to provide for you and the children you give him. And thus Ruth would be incorporated completely into Israel's life. She would be the greatest any woman could ever be, a mother in Israel. To be a godly wife and a mother is the greatest calling any woman could ever have. And Ruth is about to receive this. Thus we are to look at what Ruth turned away from. She turned away from the world. She had eyes only for Boaz. Yes, by Naomi's words of wisdom, and by looking to Israel's God, she had a narrow view. She walked upon a narrow pathway. And then Ruth heard the most astounding words. And maybe there's some of us would long to hear what Ruth heard. Fear not, my daughter. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. We don't find in this petition of Ruth to Boaz, thy will be done. We're not saying that Ruth didn't have that in her heart. But Boaz says, fear not, my daughter. And the Lord speaks that to us, does he not? Fear not. Fear not, my daughter. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Don't you long for God the Father to do that for you? You come to him as a poor, distressed sinner, and you plead the blood of Christ. Don't you long to hear him say that to you? He has already. He speaks in his word. It's not just mere coincidence that Boaz says, fear not. 63 times in Scripture we hear those words, fear not. Fear not to a people, to men that desperately needed this encouragement. Genesis 15, verse 1. The Lord speaks, fear not. Joshua 8, Verse 1, the Lord says to Joshua, fear not. Here we have Moses taking people out of Egypt later on with a multitude behind him. We wonder what kind of fears Moses had. And then Joshua following the footsteps of Moses. We take our lives. Older people, young people, can tell you a lot of what God has done for them. For you see, it's one thing to be young and hear these words, fear not. And then you place your trust in the Lord and you have hope for the hopeless and you hope all things turn out for good. But there's still this gnawing fear. But when you're in your 60s and 70s and 80s, elderly people, mothers in Israel can tell you, oh, I know the Bible says fear not. Let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you some of the events and the trials that I had. That I felt like I was walking in darkness and the Lord came alongside. And you could spend hours with these mothers in Israel and they could tell you promise and fulfillment of how the Lord has held them up. Fear not. That's what Boaz says to Ruth. I will give thee all that thou requirest. No, we're not looking at the charismatics with name it and claim it. Because Ruth was asking for one thing in particular. That Boaz would perform the duty of redeemer kinsman. And poor distressed sinner. You think you're going to be left alone if you pursue after Christ? Do you think when you come to him, maybe he'll put his hand out and say, no, it's not for you. You're not elect. Boaz says to Ruth, fear not, I will. I will perform all that thou requirest. And our Lord Jesus, he says these words to us, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May I ask you, do you feel like a Ruth this afternoon? You are pagan coming from the outside, maybe listening to the sermon over sermon audio. Maybe for the first time you hear God's word and you feel like you're Ruth and you've wasted your whole life and you hesitate to come. And yet Boaz did not turn Ruth away. Or maybe there's some listening that are prodigal sons or daughters. Maybe there's some listening that have been born and raised in the church. And they had a mother like Naomi. And you know how young people can be. They think they know it better. And so they spurn the advice, the wisdom of a godly wife or mother. And they go their own way. It's not lost. Think about the prodigal son. Born and raised in a covenant home. He wished his father dead. He wanted the money. He goes and wastes his money on riotous livings, and he comes back to his father. No, his father didn't run after him. But father was looking down the pathway. And here comes his son, and you can almost smell the stench of the pigsty on him. What does his father do? What does our Heavenly Father do for us, whether we're prodigal sons or daughters, whether we're backslidden, or whether we come to Him in the evening hour of the day and we have all this sin upon us and we have the stench of sin upon us? Does He turn away? No, He comes and He threw His arms around their prodigal sons. And poor sinner, by the authority of this word, I tell you today that God the Father will never turn you away. You come to Him. When you come to Him, He will throw His arms around you and He will kiss you. He will plant the sweet kiss of forgiveness upon your cheek. And He will perform through His Son all that thou requirest of Him to be your Redeemer kinsman. Amen. Eternal and Holy Father in heaven, Redeeming Son and sanctifying Holy Ghost, we give Thee thanks for Thy word of truth. We thank Thee that Thou hast made provision in Israel of olden days of a Redeemer kinsman, a Goel. And all of these types and shadows pointed ahead to that one that was raised up from among the people, that one who was anointed with the Holy Ghost to be Redeemer kinsman for a renewed humanity. And Lord, we thank Thee for His name, Jesus the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be pleased to seal Thy word to our hearts and hear this, our prayer, for we do ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.